This is a second in our series on faith. Just out of interest, can you put your hand up if you were here last week for Julian's talk? Because for any number of reasons, I wasn't in it myself, okay? So because we were out with the children. So that's about half the people. And that's quite normal for how we sort of these things work, and people not here for all sorts of number of reasons. And of course, there's people missing this morning as well. But I think it's really helpful, particularly when we're going through these series, for you to get the full picture. So can I encourage you to get onto the church website and listen to Julian's, if you weren't here, or even if you were here, listen to it again, Julian's talk from last week. I did this, okay, because I thought, I'm speaking today, I especially need to make sure I know what Julian said last week, to make sure I'm not saying exactly what he said last week himself. So, but I did eventually get around to listening to it on Friday lunchtime, can I encourage you to listen to that? Because not only does it help give that sort of completeness of what we're talking through, but it also gives a very, because Julian's was the first one, it was a very good introduction as to the whole reason why we're doing this, and why we're doing this series on faith. So if you haven't already listened to it, make sure you do, because it will be helpful to you, and I'm sure you'll find it great to listen to. Right, so why is faith vital in the Christian walk? That's the topic I've been given today. Now, obviously, Hebrews 11 is a key chapter in all that we're talking through over these next few months. And if you haven't, following last week or leading up to last week, if you haven't already read Hebrews 11 again, then can I encourage you to read it? It's a good-sized chapter, but it is a stirring and powerful chapter, and you'll find it helpful. And then as we preach through a lot of what's there, then I'm sure you'll find that helpful. But can I encourage you to do that? That's your homework for next week and each week following on from that. Okay, read it at least once a week in these next few months. Faith is visible in our lives when we live in a way that we believe. That we believe God wants us to, acting and making decisions based on his call and trust in his provision. Okay, that's how I've sort of said what I think faith is and how it's visible. Faith is not just about doing the extraordinary things, but also the very ordinary things day to day as well. Sometimes we get this idea that men of faith, it's because they did amazing, really difficult, miraculous things. But actually, each one of us is a man or woman of faith. Because as Julian was talking about last week, I'm going to touch on as well this week, is we can't even be a Christian without faith. Because it is only by faith that we are saved. And I'm jumping ahead in my notes already. My first point is faith is vital for salvation. Ephesians 2 verse 8 tells us that by grace you have been saved through faith. Okay, so without faith, it's impossible to even be a Christian. Why is that so vital? Why is it so important in salvation? First of all, because we can only be saved by trusting in the death of Jesus to pay for our sin. So without that trust in Jesus, that trust I'm using there as faith, because basically that's what trust is, isn't it? That's what faith is, it's trusting in Jesus. And so we can't even be saved, because it's by grace, through faith, that we are saved. So first of all, we're trusting in Jesus, trusting in the death of Jesus to pay for our sin. That's first reason why faith is involved with salvation. Second reason is because we're actually submitting to the lordship of Jesus, both at that moment and we're saying for the rest of our lives as well. So faith is fundamental to salvation, probably for many other reasons as well, but I'm just picking out those two. First of all, trusting in the death of Jesus to save us from our sin, to pay for our sin. And secondly, we're submitting to his lordship. So we're basically at the point of salvation, we're saying to Jesus, I recognize you as Lord of all, and I also recognize you as Lord of my life. And that you cannot do without faith, because you're basically saying, I submit everything I am to you. And that is what faith is. And so faith is vital in salvation. And so both of those are about faith, which is vital to our salvation. Secondly, faith is vital for the Christian life. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. When I was thinking about this, I was imagining, like when you're walking along and you see a blind person walking along. They may have a guide dog. Never quite sure the properly correct term for that, but we'll say a guide dog, okay, for or they've got the white stick. Now, if you think about how someone who is blind walks, they're actually putting quite a lot of faith or trust either in a dog that's leading them or what they know about their surroundings. Because the white stick enables them to know where the edge of pavements is and all that sort of thing. So actually, as they're walking, they don't have the sight, and so they're having to put their trust in either a dog to lead them or perhaps another person to lead them or what they know about their surroundings, the place where they are. And in many ways, that is what the Christian life is, a good illustration of the Christian life, because we have to put our trust, our full trust for our safety and everything about our life, either into like the guide dog, like Jesus guiding us, or what we know about our surroundings, or in our case as Christians, what we know about what Jesus has said, what we believe about what Jesus has said. So in that way, we're walking by faith and not by sight. So it is vital for the Christian life, because what's the alternative to walking by faith? We either just purely walk by what we see. We purely live our lives based on the way we want to do it, based on the way that we think is a good way to go. But we need to do it another way. The Bible, like I said in 2 Corinthians, says that we need to walk by faith and not by sight. As Christians, we need to trust in what we know of God and what he has said. I want to read a very well-known passage from Matthew 6. I've got a new phone this week, so hopefully I remembered to load the Bible onto it, because that would have been embarrassing. And also, hopefully it won't switch off halfway through me reading from it. But so here we go. Matthew verse 6, starting at verse 25. Like I say, this is a very familiar passage, I'm sure, but I'm reading through up to verse 34. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body. What you put on is not life more than, is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing. Look at the birds of the air, they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for today is its own trouble. And I do love that passage and the sort of realism of it. And also the fact that actually Jesus is stating here, do not be anxious. Now, the reason why he has to say that is because he knows that as human beings, we have this tendency to be anxious. And so he's telling them, actually, as followers of Jesus, it is important that we are first seeking the kingdom. And we can only do that, as I've said, by faith. We can only seek the kingdom first, because by seeking the kingdom first, we're saying we're trusting Jesus for the rest. And that is really, really important. And that's the only way that we can really fulfill all that we have to live as a Christian in the Christian life, is by, because that's our mission, as it is to seek the kingdom. And what that means, I understand, is that we see an advance of the kingdom, an increase of the kingdom here on earth. So through our lives, we are influencing the people around us, seeing the kingdom come. Whether that be with miracles or whether it be just with kindness. And I think that's one of the really helpful things about teaching we've been receiving recently is actually the gospel, the good news, our witness is not anymore. I was about to pick up a Bible and try and bash someone over the head. Not so easy with a phone, and not such a good idea, is it? Especially if you haven't bought a screen protector for it yet. But our job isn't to bash people over the head with our Bibles, is it? And try and persuade them into the kingdom. Our job is to show kindness. Our job is to show people that they are loved. Because through that, we are expressing to them how much the Father loves them. That he is a God of judgment. He is a God of purity. But he is a God of love. And that is the message. That is the kingdom that we are bringing. Is the kingdom of kindness, the kingdom of love, the kingdom of our God. And so as we commit ourselves to doing that, there are times where we have to make decisions where we're saying, I'm putting that first and I'm trusting God for the clothes to wear, for the food to eat, for the drink, and those sort of things. So our primary calling is to seek the advance of the kingdom. And we make that our top priority and we trust God to provide for our needs. So even just to live and walk the Christian life, we need faith. So that was the second one. Vital for salvation, vital for the Christian life. And thirdly, I'm saying it's vital to please him. And after all, as Christians, as well as walking the Christian life, we want to do that in a way that glorifies him and pleases him. And Hebrews 11, in verse 6 there, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Okay, so if you think that faith is optional once you've become a Christian, it's not. Because without faith, it's impossible to live the Christian life and it's impossible to please him as a Christian. So why is that? Why is it impossible to please God without faith? Well, because what faith does is it says, I am trusting completely in you. We're on that journey, aren't we? Sometimes we don't fully trust God, but we're on that journey, and that's our goal, is to get to a point, isn't it, where we're saying we're completely trusting in him. And that is why faith is vital. That is why without faith it's impossible to please God. Because if you don't have faith, then you're trusting in yourself, or you're trusting in other people, or you're trusting in what you have. You're basically making a God of something else. You're making something else your God if you're not living in faith, by faith in him. And so that is why it is vital. That is why without faith is impossible to please him. And I don't think faith, it's interesting that Julian's comment at the start there, because he talked about love and fear. And I was thinking about this as I was preparing about faith and fear. Because I've heard it said that actually faith is the opposite of fear. And I can't actually go along with that. Because I think faith isn't the opposite of fear. Because I believe that actually you act in faith, you may still have that fear. And actually faith is overcoming the fear. Faith is overcoming by something that is stronger than the fear. So if you are afraid to do something, fear doesn't disappear if you go by faith. Fear is still there, but actually your faith has overcome that fear. So it's not the opposite of fear, it's actually overcoming fear through faith. And that's important, I think, because doubt, even when we're in faith, we may still well be doubting to some degree. And so we might feel like actually fears will disappear. And if you remember one of those old songs years ago, in his presence our fears will disappear. And people tried to rewrite those words in all sorts of ways, because realizing actually that's not really the case, is it? In his presence our fears don't disappear. The the strength of them and the overwhelmingness of those fears will diminish and our trust in him will become greater. But the issues themselves, they don't disappear, do they? And I think that's, we've got to be real about these things, because actually we, through faith, we overcome the things that we fear. They don't disappear. We overcome them through trusting in him. How much does faith influence our decision making? When I was thinking about this, I was thinking, particularly as parents, for those of you who've got young children, those of you who've got any children, but particularly those of you who've got young children, through the life, as you grow up as parents, as you walk through this, as your children grow up, you will have to make lots of decisions for sort of on behalf of your children or that are going to affect your children. And sometimes people will try and tell you things like, oh, that's a terrible time to move people in their school life. Or that's a terrible time to do this for children. That's a terrible time to do that. And we can be influenced by those things more than actually what we feel God has called us to do. When we moved to Perth, Ben was just moving into third year of high school. What a terrible time to move a child. And it was traumatic at times, poor Ben. But actually, we had heard the voice of God and we felt we have to trust God that he will seek first the kingdom, what we believe he's told us to do, and we will trust him for our children. And for some people, that might seem reckless, that might seem hopeless and unkind, but I believe, actually, in Matthew 6, it says, if we seek first the kingdom of God, then he will supply, he will take care of the rest, he will provide what we need. And so, and actually, I think Ben's testimony now would be, despite the fact that that was a pretty traumatic start to life in Scotland, actually now he's gone away to university in Aberdeen that he wouldn't have done, I don't think, had we not been in Scotland here. Met his wife, got married, got a job. And I think each of our children, I think, would say actually coming to Scotland has been a really, really positive experience for them, even if there was things that people would have said, timing's not good, but anyway. So as parents, it's really important as we're making decisions, those decisions are first and foremost based in faith and trust in what God has called us to do, looking at some of the young parents here, because it's an important lesson to learn right from when they're even very young, actually. This is my opinion, and I believe it's biblical because I've read it out of Matthew 6. Having established that faith is vital for us in the Christian life, the walk in the Christian life, and to please him, are we satisfied with our level of faith? And it's all very talking about faith and saying we've got to have faith and we've got to live by faith, we've got to move forward. But how can we grow in faith? I think this is a natural progression. And I look through the plan of who's preaching on what. And thankfully, I didn't notice any how do we grow in faith as a subject in its own right. So I felt it went nicely along with actually the vitalness of faith is how we actually move forward and grow in faith. Now, as I began to look at this, because I think that it goes along hand in hand with the fact that faith is vital, is how we grow in it. And I believe that actually it's through our senses, which you might think that's a bit of an odd thing to say. But I'm using our senses as a sort of structure for us to look at this. And I do believe it's biblical, because otherwise I wouldn't be saying it. But Romans 10, verse 17, says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the first of our senses is our hearing. Okay, we grow in our faith through our hearing, and it's hearing the word of God. Now, it's not just reading the word of God, okay? This is important. It's not just reading for two reasons. One is sometimes we hear the word of God through our friends here at church or other people, and so it's not necessarily just the Bible. We might hear it through ourselves, through prophetic words, through wisdom from other people. But also, even when we read the Bible, sometimes we're not hearing it. So it's hearing in all sorts of ways. It's hearing from other people, but it's also actually hearing what we're reading. And as sort of at this point, I'd like to, Julia, can you come and, I've asked Julia to give a little bit of testimony on this because I hope this will help.
This is just a little bit of testimony about me hearing the word of God through the Bible. And I'd actually like to honour Chris Rose, who's sitting over there, who plays a substantial part of this story. So a year or so back, we were at Hub. I'm not even sure what we were focusing on, but I confessed to the group that I've been really struggling reading the Bible with any consistency. I've been a Christian a long time, and throughout that time I have read quite a bit of the Bible, but as a kind of a now thing, I was really struggling with consistency, and actually when I did it, actually kind of learning anything from it. So Chris was horrified by this. Somebody who was walking as a Christian but was missing out so much on getting to grips with what was in the Bible, so he took it as his personal mission to find a way for me to read the Bible. So he got in contact with somebody who teaches people that kind of thing, I think. Anyway, wrote out some notes for me about how to study the Bible, which I did try, but I didn't really get on with. It was basically reading it kind of by yourself, which was why I wasn't reading it, because I was struggling to read it by myself. But he also gave me a link to, if you could just put up the thing, Jacob, a message on that's on the King's Arms Church website from Paul Johnson, which is about basically motivation to read the Bible and how you encounter God through reading the Bible. So that is what it is. It's old, but it's only like 35 minutes. I'd highly recommend it if you are somebody who maybe doesn't quite feel motivated about how you encounter God through the Bible. It is absolutely fantastic, and it has been life-changing for me. Partly because he also recommended these books by Phil Moore. Now, I think Phil Moore, Jane, I think Phil Moore was at the church that you used to go to in Wimbledon, yeah? So he leads a church in London, but he's also very well studied. And these notes are just, like, there's about four pages that go with a passage from the Bible, but they go through, so this is about Genesis, they go through different books. So I thought, well, give it a go, read one of them. But the other thing that Paul says in that message is, and I was guilty of this as well, lots of us have got go-to passages in the Bible that when we're struggling, we go to read. But the problem with that is, if that's all you read about God, that's all you know about God. So if you're not expanding what you read in the Bible, you won't be expanding your knowledge and encountering and hearing God. So I thought, I'll get one of these, but I'll get one for a book that I would never read normally. So actually I got one for the Minor Prophets, which I had only dipped in and out of and didn't really know, and thought I could do some help understanding it, and read the whole thing. And actually we're a year on from that, and I'm on about my fourth or fifth book of those, and I'm up most mornings at 20 minutes. I could give it a lot more, to be honest, because there's a lot in them, but that's all I have. So thanks to Chris who persevered with me, but I am hearing and encountering God through the Bible, in which I wasn't doing because I wasn't reading it. So there we go.
I think that's really important, and as well as just being authentic and honest about the fact with one another, but that in itself provoked something which has seen a real breakthrough. So as Julia said, she's done the Minor Prophets, she's done Isaiah, she's done another book, and then she's in the middle of Genesis at the moment. So it's just great testimony of how actually it's finding a way that works for you. And I think this is the crucial thing, because actually that's Julia's testimony. That might help half of the people here, that might help two of the people here. But actually, find a way that works for you, okay? Whether that's through using these sort of commentaries, or Hannah, just texted me the other day to say, I've done it. I've read through the Bible in a year. And she'd actually achieved it. And I thought, wow, that's great. I don't think I've ever done anything quite like that. Or I have started them and not really completed. But when it comes to the Word of God, when it comes to spending time reading, find a way that works for you. And press through until you find it. And if you want more information on those, then grab Julia or myself afterwards and we can give you the details. We don't get commission, by the way. This is purely on but like we've said, it's not just about reading it, but it's actually hearing it. It's understanding it. And that's so it is hearing the Word of God. So that's the first sense. So the second sense, how we grow in faith, is taste. That's an interesting one, isn't it? Doesn't look very tasty, does it? Nor does this. But what Psalm 34 verse 8 says is taste, and this is from David, taste and see that the Lord is good. And I think this really came through in worship this morning, actually, which was very helpful. Completely unorganized in terms of the communication there. But the fact that God is good was one of the themes that really came through in worship this morning. And I think that's a real stir to your faith when you actually grasp and grab hold of and understand and believe that God is good. Because I think that is one of the biggest issues that you often hear people say, if God is so amazing, if God is in control, I can't believe in him, or he's bad because he lets all this nasty stuff happen. But actually, the Bible's testimony is God is good. And if you understand that, then how much more does it help you to actually move forward trusting him? You can put your faith in him because you know he's good. Okay? When there's people around you that you know they're good people and they really, really have your sort of your good will, your good health in their interest, how they are really for you, you put your trust in them, don't you? You trust in what they say. You trust in you might trust them to babysit for you, or you might trust them to look after your children. You might trust them to do various things. You might listen when they talk. How much more God? To say he's good is like such an understatement, isn't it? But I think actually it is. There is this sense in that he is good in the sense that he is completely and 100% good. We put our trust in other people who we would consider good people. There will be times when they let us down, and that's disappointing. But actually with God, that will never be our testimony. He will never, ever, ever let us down, will he? Because he is good. He is 100% good all the time. And let's declare that. And let's declare the goodness of God. So we taste, but we get a taste for the fact that actually when we step out in trusting him, we learn that we can lean on his faithfulness. And I was just thinking, when you think about taste, we think about a food or a drink. If you just think about a food or a drink that you really love. Now, has anybody got something in your mind there that's a bit out of the ordinary? It's not just venison, which is obvious everybody, unless they're vegetarian or vegan, should love. Anybody got something out of the ordinary who's brave enough to tell me something they love, a drink or food? Kippers. That's pretty, yeah, that's a bit out of the ordinary. Now, how did you, when you first had kippers, before you actually tried them, did you think, I know this is going to be my favorite food ever? Yeah. But you knew, you had to try it really, didn't you? Yeah. So once he tasted kippers, that was it. There's no going back. It's similar with other foods, isn't it? Now, Jacob's quite brave in the food thing, particularly with seafood. I'm not a big fan of seafood at all. Things like octopus, squid, I don't really even want to try them. They just don't appeal. But Jacob's one of these people who, I'll give that a go. And some of them have been successful, some not successful. But I know he loves scallops, don't you? Julia and Jacob both love scallops. And if they'd never tasted them in the first place, if they'd been a bit more like me, who was thinking, no, it just does not appeal at all, then they would never have discovered that actually scallops are really good and that they're worth it. Now, it's a loose analogy, I know, but if we taste and see that the Lord is good, we've got to try it. We've got to push out. We've got to try it. And then we see that actually this is good. God is faithful. And actually this is more fulfilling than just holding back. You could have just stayed eating cod all your days, but no, you try these other things and have more than just your standard foods, and you learn actually there's a lot of good stuff here. And that is, it's like that with God. We push the boundaries with what we believe he said. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that you can trust him. As well as that, through that, we can then look back and see from experience. And we can say from experience, actually, I know that God has been faithful in the past, so I know I can trust him. I can put my faith in him each step of the way. So that was the second one, taste. Third one, seeing. We grow in faith as we see him at work, either in our own lives or in the lives of other people. And testimonies are just so powerful, aren't they? Especially if it's someone that you really do know, and actually perhaps you've seen what they're talking about happen. Or like if someone's giving a testimony of a healing, and if you've seen someone who came in a wheelchair or something like that, and they go out the door dancing, if you see that for yourself, how much that causes a jump of faith, doesn't it? And so through seeing what God is doing, either in our own lives or in the lives of others, we actually, that stirs and encourages our faith in him. Fourthly, touch. I'm only doing four, okay? I haven't gone on to smell. I thought that was getting a bit tenuous. I'm sure there is a good one, but I'm going to not push things too far. But touch. As I was thinking about this, I thought, actually, this in itself may be the most powerful. Because I believe that as we touch him in worship, as we really go in through praise into that place of worship where we are just lost in him, in understanding his love for us, reflecting back our love to him, our adoration to him, I think it's in that place of worship. I think that is one of the places where our trust and our faith in him actually grows and really sort of accelerates through. And it's part of the reason why I feel sometimes people sort of sideline worship a bit. And sometimes people can treat it a bit like a performance or a concert or just sort of what you're joining in with or whatever. But actually, let's not ever get trapped into that. Praise and worship is about touching the Father. It's about touching Jesus. And let's remember that. And as we look for our faith to grow, we need to be making sure we're getting into that place. So as we come together on a Sunday morning, there's a lot of distractions. Okay, there's a lot of things going on. But actually, let's really do what we can to focus on Jesus as we come together to worship. I know we can worship in all sorts of different settings, but I think Sunday mornings is a critical one for us, isn't it? Because it's the time of the week where we get together, where we focus on it, where we have the help of one another. We have the help of a band to lead us into worship. And so let's really make that something that is really important for us. And that will help in turn to, as we touch Jesus, as we get closer to him, I believe our trust in him will just grow and grow. And so through our senses, we don't just know about God. I think that is the really important thing, isn't it? You can know all there is to know about food, but unless you smell it and you taste it, perhaps listen to it, who knows, but unless you actually taste it, you don't know food at all. You might know about it, and with God, we don't just want to know of him, do we? We want to know him. And I think that is what, that's why it's so important that we hear the word of God, that we taste and see that he is good. Like I said, we see that he is good, see the work he's done, and that we touch him as we worship. And I believe this begins to explain the truth of Hebrews 11:1, where it defines faith as faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction or evidence of things not seen. Really famous verse, and I think it sums up faith so amazingly, because it's got this amazing difference between, it's actually so, there's substance, there's evidence, and yet it's not seen, it's hoped for. It's like this amazing sort of tug of war almost. It's substance of something that we don't see. And so that, it's as we begin to go deeper into him that actually our faith grows, because the substance, the evidence begins to stack up and grow and grow. And I just want to, in closing, want to read a passage from the commentary here on Genesis, where he talks about Abraham. Because Abraham was basically pretty much a heathen, and yet God chose him. And this is what he says about Abraham. Abraham is considered, he's one of the ones in Hebrews 11, as a man of faith who took God at his word and was prepared to do as he commanded. He may have been steeped in false religion and compromise in the city of Ur, but it only took one encounter with the Lord to convert him thoroughly. In the words of Hebrews 11, by faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. He traded in the civilized comfort of Ur to become a tent-dwelling foreigner in a land he had never visited, because his eyes were fixed on God, who had appeared to him, and the heavenly promises he had heard from his mouth. He knew better than anyone that he was a spent and childless has-been, but he had faith in the power of God who had called him to obey. Paul explains in Galatians that the Lord announced the Gospels in advance to Abraham, when he told him that he would bless all nations through his offspring. That was what Abraham had stacked in his favor. He believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And then he sums up, he's saying, God is not looking for heroes who possess great natural promise. He is far too great to need the help of those he chooses. He is simply looking for nobodies who will believe his gospel promises. Abraham heard God's voice and believed what he said. And that was a credit enough to find a place in God's great story. Now, each one of us, one of the things it says, I think Julian mentioned this last week, in Hebrews 11 it says their story is not complete. And the reason their story is not complete is because ours isn't yet written. It's not until ours is written as well. That's what it says in Hebrews 11, that their story will be complete. And so we have a part to play in Hebrews 11. And so we can sort of go forward knowing that actually, just as God chose a heathen nobody who was living in a heathen country to be his man, and so he has chosen us. And so we, just with a little bit, believing him, can know a faith and a trust in him and know great things.